The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock,
just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock and Nicole.
Think.
Just I like love that. That
all right.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Thursday. It is the Nicole Sandler Show. We are coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com on the Progressive Voices channel via the app or at ProgressiveVoices.com. A bunch of other online stations as well. AirProgressive.org is one of them, Netroots Radio, and others. Plus, we stream video to YouTube, to Facebook, to Twitter and Twitch. And the best part, there's no paywall here. This show is supported by you, the listener. But, you know, it's available for anyone to check out. And hopefully you'll like it enough that you'll want to support it, because that's how we get by. So anyway, welcome to a Thursday. Wow. All I can say is where I am in South Florida, we dodged a bullet, like a massive bullet. Fort Myers, Naples, that part of the west coast of Florida is just decimated. And the stories that I'm reading are horrific. We got really, really lucky down here. And, you know, knocking on wood laminate there, but for the grace of dog, you know, or the winds at any given moment, go the rest of us. So, the video that we're seeing is just terrifying. It's horrible. Now, yesterday, it's funny, I turned the tables on one of our listeners. You know, Robert from Naples is in Naples, and he had called in the day before and said, you know, he felt confident because at that time the storm was forecast to hit Tampa head on. And well, we know what happened. It didn't. It took a little right turn and then, you know, hit the Naples, Fort Myers area as a direct shot. Now, yesterday I told you my story of being here visiting my dad when Hurricane Andrew hit back in 1992. And the same thing was happening. I couldn't move my father because he was an invalid. He was just recently out of the hospital. He had been pushed and left quadriplegic. And I was visiting from California, but we didn't even have a van at the time. I couldn't move him. So we weren't going anywhere, like nowhere. So, you know, we hunkered down and dug in. And luckily for me, for us, that storm, Andrew, was coming straight out. It was coming straight at the Broward-Dade County line, which is where we were, and it took a left. It just, you know, the winds change, and the course of the storm changes too. So yes, I got lucky twice now. So, but you know, my heart goes out to all those people. So anyway, our friend Robert, yesterday, as it was apparent that that he took a direct hit, you know, I have his number in my phone, so I called him, and just turning the tables a little bit, just wanted to make sure he was okay. And he got lucky too, because Robert does not live at the beach. You know, what we saw was, for instance, Ali Velshi was stationed at a hotel right at the beach in Naples. Well, that was really bad, but Robert was inland a couple of miles, and he said it made all the difference in the world. But now we're seeing, you know, we're seeing pictures, we're seeing, hearing the stories, and it's just horrific. I'm going to share with you, only because it's so close to my story, and again, there but for the grace of dog, sorry, you know, atheist, as dogs to me are more, give me more comfort than God, but that's an issue for another day. Anyway, there's a story that I happened to see on the MSNBC today, And I want to share it with you just because you don't know what other people are going through, right? That's a given. We never know what other people are going through. And that's one of the reasons, and this is a total non sequitur, but I have been on the receiving end of some usual man who says, smile, it can't be that bad. Well, fuck you. You don't know what I'm going through. Don't ever say that to a stranger. Maybe they just had a death in the family. You know, you don't know what somebody you don't know is dealing with. Don't ever tell a stranger to smile unless you want to get a smack across the face. Anyway, I digress. I'm just going to play this clip for you because it is so heart-wrenching. But I just feel for this woman. The town that she's in is called Punta Gorda. I've never been there. It's on the west coast of Florida. It is above Fort Myers. I believe there's a Club Med there, like a family Club Med there. That's about all I know. But, you know, the part above Fort Myers, between Fort Myers and the Tampa Bay area, is thankfully not very, not hugely populated, not overpopulated like so many other parts of Florida are. But here's a woman. Well, I'm just going to play it so you can hear it. All right, here we go. Take it away, magic of videotape, I think. Come on, didn't I just hit
play? And one of those survivors is Renee Smith. And Renee Smith is joining us here live right now to talk about what her ordeal was like. So first of all, Renee, I'm glad you're here. Tell me, where did you ride the storm out?
I hid under the kitchen table.
Under the table?
Oh, yeah, boy. I made kind of a fort with pillows and blankets, and I hid under the table. But before I hid, I had to protect my husband.
And let's explain. Your husband, Kevin.
Christopher.
Christopher, sorry. Yeah. Your husband, Christopher, he's paralyzed from the chest down.
Yeah, he has metastatic prostate cancer that has metastasized to his spine.
Oh, shit.
And this week he became paralyzed and he was at the hospital, but they released him to come home.
So how did you protect him and what was that like?
It was terrifying. I took some blankets and I put holes in them with the scissors and I zip tied them to the hospital bed. And then I took a big tarpaulin that had grommets and I zip tied that over it. And then I put pillows in plastic bags and I duct taped them to the top of the sideboard. And then I put pillows between the sideboard and the window because I didn't want him to get cut up to death if the window blew in. And then I put a life jacket on him so that if the water came, he wouldn't drown. Would float.
Oh, this poor woman.
Quite an ordeal for you to go through that. I mean,
I don't want him to die.
I don't want him to die.
And he's okay, right?
He's alive. He's
alive.
He's traumatized, but he's alive. He was supposed to have radiation on his spine on Wednesday, and that might have helped him to maybe walk again, but it got canceled. So we're hoping that maybe that will still happen.
Renee, as you're here, and it's just you and your husband Christopher, mm-hmm. your daughter lives in Nashville.
She does.
What do you do next? I mean, your arm, I notice, is very weak. It's broken.
Yeah.
So what do you do next?
I gotta go home and feed my husband and clean him up and start my day as a caregiver. Take my trusty flashlight and go do my job. I mean, yesterday I wasn't a very good caregiver. Most of the day I hid as he was scared and I wasn't there to comfort him.
Oh my God, this poor woman.
I was a coward. I was under the table hiding.
I think everybody can understand you did so much for your husband.
But now he's, you know, it's time to be his wife again and go back and do what he needs.
Well, God bless you for that.
So that's...
You were here for Hurricane Charlie.
Okay, it goes on, but I think you get the idea there. Wow. This is just one story of one person trying to survive through this storm. We haven't heard a fraction of what happened. Seeing the photographs, seeing the video of cars overturned, of boats across town sitting in, you know, people's carports. This was pretty devastating, and it's not over yet. The storm moved so slowly from the Fort Myers area where it came ashore to Orlando, where today they were still saying we're waiting for the eye wall to cross over us. This thing was crawling, so dumping a lot of rain. And the rain is what's really bad. Now, some parts of the country got off easy because of the state. Again, the Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater area, you know, they got lucky because they were expecting a direct hit. But then I see this story in the Washington Post. God, this pissed me off. The Washington Post obtained a video. I'm not going to play the video. I'm just going to read this to you. A woman named Joy Gendusa, who is the CEO of the marketing firm called Postcard Mania. They're based in Clearwater. Clearwater is also on Tampa Bay. It's the Tampa Bay is Tampa, Clearwater, St. Petersburg, and then, you know, that's the main crux of it. So anyway, this video that the Washington Post got a hold of shows a meeting that this CEO had with her employees on Monday, in which she asked them to raise their hands if they were worried about the coming storm. And when they expressed their concerns, she said, "Oh, it's not going to be that bad. Obviously, you feeling safe and comfortable is of the utmost importance, but I honestly want to continue to deliver, and I want to have a great end of quarter. And when it turns into nothing, I don't want it to be like, great, we all stopped producing because of the media and thought that maybe it was going to be terrible." So this video, I guess, took off online and people started calling her out. And people who worked, the company reversed course because she came under so much fire. But workers at the firm who spoke with the Washington Post, they had no problem expressing what they feel. One of them said, "There is no company worth sacrificing for. I wouldn't give my life for any company." Another one said, "There was a huge disconnect between her and her employees. Not everyone lives in a nice place or in a safe place like her." And then the Washington Post story even goes on and talks about she drove away. She was driving off to safety while her employees were stuck there, leading them to get even more and more angry. Gendusa's remarks come as the pandemic and burnout have led many to reevaluate their work conditions, giving rise to conversations about the great resignation and quiet quitting. The company has since announced its offices will not open on Wednesday and Thursday, adding that it would also offer 2 days of paid time off for those working remotely or volunteering at a shelter. You know me, I am me, and I tried calling the company today, and there was a recording saying that they're closed due to the hurricane. Wow. Here's one of the employees talking to the Washington Post. "She is in her car driving away from us and telling us to keep working. It just felt wrong. I'm going to have to work, and you're driving in your SUV taking off?" People were not happy. There was another one. Following Joy's remarks, Postcard Mania's president, Melissa Bradshaw, took the meeting over and reiterated that making sure everyone was safe was our number one priority. But some employees were not buying Gendusa's attempt to reverse course, calling her statement disingenuous. "She speaks for the company," one worker told the Post. "She is the company. She is the boss." It's easier to do the right thing in the first place than to have to play cleanup. And I'll tell you something else. If I was in any position to do a direct marketing campaign, a direct mail campaign for any of my companies, I would not be using Postcard Mania based in Clearwater, Florida. Okay, so there's that. All right, so today, is Thursday. You know what happened today? Jenny Thomas, that would be Clarence Thomas's wife, Supreme Court Justice, who shouldn't be there, Clarence Thomas, his wife met with the January 6th committee today. Now, it was behind closed doors, so we don't know what was said. Hopefully, we'll find out. You would think we'd find out at the January 6th hearing that would be rescheduled from yesterday when it was supposed to happen. But apparently, the committee chairman, Benny Thompson, told CNN that the panel is still working to reschedule that postponed hearing and that it likely will not happen next week. Oh, no, 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 no. I understand, although I didn't at the time immediately, but after giving it greater thought, I got it. I understand that, you know, that it had to be canceled. We did not want the split screen of, you know, the streets of Naples and Fort Myers of being overrun by floodwaters with, you know, sharing the screen with the January 6th committee. But by next week, come on. After all, we are 6 weeks out from Election Day. We don't have a lot of time to spare, and they need to get this work done. All right, so I want to hear what Ginny Thomas said. I don't know if you heard it. If I can, let's see. I didn't pull the audio. One of the news aggregator websites had video of Ginny Thomas going into meet with the committee, and a reporter, you know, shouted out something. I wonder if it's on the recount because they're usually pretty good. Do I have it here? Yeah, I don't see it. You know, she's like, oh, I look forward to answering that question. You know what I say to that, don't you? Oh, wrong button. It was supposed to be the bullshit button, but yeah, I have something else up. Hi. There is good news, though. The government will not shut down tomorrow. They did pass a short-term continuing resolution to fund the government through December 16th, in case you were wondering. So it gets us through the election. And then, you know what? The Republicans are still playing games with the debt limit. You know, I get when the Democrats are in charge, they need to fix all this stuff. So, like, they need to fix the Electoral College and the Vote Counting Act and the debt ceiling, because it's just crazy. It just is really crazy. But they need a big enough margin in both houses in order to get this stuff done. And they don't appear to be headed in that direction. So, you know, that's something we need to work on, like turning out the vote on November 8th. All right, we can do that. Yeah. All right. By the way, yes, I see Karina says in the chat room, no sharks cruising Estero. Can I just tell you, be skeptical of everything you see on the internet, please. There is no shark swimming in the streets of Fort Myers. That's been debunked. It was debunked 10 years ago when the video first surfaced. Yet people who should know better are still saying, did you see there are sharks swimming around on the streets of Fort Myers? No, there aren't. By the same token, please, I think I have to have it tattooed on my forehead. Well, not literally, but consider the source. As I'm preparing for the show each day, I'm in my studio, and for like the last half hour, you know, I usually have the monitor up in the background because I follow, my show follows the Randy Rhodes Show on the Progressive Voices Network. So I monitor to hear when her show ends so I can start at the right time and, you know, hopefully make it flawless. Yeah, that deserves that. Anyway, today I hear her talking about this video from a Russian TV station where the presenter, the main guy on the panel, is like bitching and screaming that he got drafted, that he got his conscripted into the Russian military. The problem is there is a Twitter account. Let me get the exact name of it so that I can give you the same information I sent to her. The name of the Twitter account who posted the video is Real Subtitles? Because they're not. Because what they do is actually very, very funny, but it's subtle. And there's a very thin line in many cases between real life and satire. And so what this Twitter account apparently does is it takes these videos, media from other countries that speak a different language, and they, quote, translate and put their own subtitles on. It was brilliantly done, but it wasn't real. So please consider the source. Always consider the source. If something looks like too good to be true, check out where it came from, because it probably is. Okay, along those lines, the too good to be true, you know, there are, I've been marveling at some of the political commercials, the ads. Now, we are just over a month away from Election Day. So we got about another month of the political crazy coming on our TV screens. So I pulled together a collection of a few of these political ads that I've noticed in the last, you know, the last few weeks in this election season that I think deserve a little extra scrutiny. And I thought maybe with Howie today, Howie Klein joins us in about 10 minutes or so, that we'd go through some of them. But I got to play this one for you, because this one is particularly offensive. Some of them are funny, but this one I find really offensive. And I think I'm going to have to start a new feature to run for the next 5 weeks or so called Your Daily Death Sentence. Because each day I got to bring you something about this idiot who is more dangerous than Donald Trump. But Ron DeSantis, yeah, that guy, who so horribly wants to become president, but before he can run for president, he's got to win re-election as governor of Florida. I'm still hoping that he won't be. Oh, by the way, programming note, this evening, that would be the Thursday show, I am a guest on the broadcast. No, I'm not guest hosting, but I'm a guest on tonight's show because I am in Florida. We did just get hit by this massive hurricane. So I will be on with Brad Friedman tonight. So at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Voices channel. You can just, you know, go to progressivevoices.com and just listen, and it automatically comes on. Or anytime after that, 8 o'clock, you can go to bradblog.com and play it right from the website. Brad doesn't do a live show. He does a pre-recorded show that goes out as a podcast. Excuse me. So anyway, just letting you know, I'll be on with Brad tonight. But Ron DeSantis, you know, has a lot of money in the bank for reasons that we won't go into right now. But so this new ad that he's running, I'm just going to play it for you. And we'll talk about it afterwards. And by the way, if you would like to call in, we've got a few minutes for phone calls. Howie comes on at the bottom of the hour. All right. So check out this commercial and get ready to be nauseated. Okay, here's how it goes.
When our middle son, Brandon, left to go to work, he was only 21 years old. And the last words I said to him is, I love you. And a twice deported illegal ran into him and hit him so hard that he caused Brandon's car to flip. And he killed him. My child's killed by someone who should not have been here. This is what happens when we have open borders.
Oh, my God.
To go and meet with Governor DeSantis. He said, I want to hear your son's story and to see the compassion in his eyes. And I saw the concern. He wanted to make sure other lives were protected. And as a governor, he truly has been upholding the oath that he took.
Oh, which is bullshit.
To protect Floridians.
Come on.
He not only talks a good talk, but he walks it. He's
oh,
been very
nonsense.
Strong on safety. He's been very strong on law.
Oh,
and order.
Come on.
He has made our state one of the safest states to be in. There's no greater leader than Governor DeSantis, because he didn't just listen. He put action behind it.
Oh, please.
Bullshit.
It is bullshit. So let me tell you a little bit about this, right? So it sounds like, oh, that's a horrible story. This poor woman lost her son to a drunk driver, as she calls him, a twice deported illegal. Well, again, no human being is illegal. And I honestly, I don't even know the specifics of the story. What I do know is this accident happened in 2007. moron death sentence, became a backbencher in the U.S. Congress in 2013. In 2007, who knows where he was? Had nothing to do with him or anything else for that matter. This woman, whose son was killed in a car accident back in 2007, that Ron DeSantis had nothing to do with one way or another, is now running for the Florida State Senate. You see, and she did this commercial to bring out this wedge issue. Oh, illegals are driving on our roads, and one of them had an accident that killed her son. It's horrible. But it has nothing to do with Ron DeSantis's quest to win re-election as Florida's governor or to become president. Instead, he's capitalizing on this tragedy that this family suffered 15 years ago. And yeah, he can help give her political candidacy a boost. Oh my God. This had nothing to do with Ron DeSantis. He is just taking advantage of a woman whose son was fatally injured in a car crash. It's a terrible story. Why that is in a commercial for Ron DeSantis? I have no idea, because it makes no sense. None whatsoever. So that's how he's running. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. All right, breaking. Russian billionaire Oleg Vladimirovich Deripaska has been indicted on a charge of sanctions evasion. Is that here, Tamara, or is that in Russia? Oleg Deripaska, I think he's here. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, so, quote, illegals. Everything about that spot was offensive. You know that, right? It was. All right, before we get Howie on the line, hi, who's this calling from the 310 area code?
Yeah, it's Lynn calling from West LA.
Hey, Lynn.
Just, I had a question for Howie about a candidate running, challenging Elise Stefanik in New York 21.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what he thinks about Matt Castelli, if he has a chance, if I should support him.
Matt Castelli?
I really detest Elise Stefanik.
Yeah, here's what I would do. Yeah. I mean, look, whoever is the opponent for Elise Stefanik, you should vote for. He may not be a great, you know, progressive hero, but Elise Stefanik is a heinous excuse for a human being who never was this extreme right winger. She was more, you know, a moderate centrist Republican until she realized, ooh, I can hang on to Donald Trump's crazy coattails and ride this thing all the way up. So she embraced the crazy. Apparently, the people who were her original backers were not very supportive of her. But, you know, and they're not very happy with this turn in her stance on a lot of issues. She was not a maggot. She is now because it was it helped propel her in Republican circles. But Lynn, you're in West LA. Isn't Elise Stefanik like somewhere else?
I'm not voting there, but I give money
and I
phone bank and
good for you.
Send postcards and also canvas work locally, you know. So I just feel like we need more progressives.
We
and
do.
We need fewer maggot people. We've got to do everything we can up until this election because it's the most important one. But, it's so important. We've got to do it. It's like a hair on fire moment, in my opinion.
Now, here's the other thing, though. And I will ask Howie about Matt Castelli. His name? Matt Castelli?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the reason is, here's the thing. There's only so much money out there, and there are only so many candidates who can actually win. And I bring this up because I don't want to dissuade anyone. Vote against the bad guys, for sure. Vote against Elise Stefanik. Vote against Marjorie Taylor Greene. But apparently, a lot of people from outside of Georgia are sending a lot of money, for example, to Marjorie Taylor Greene's opponent. In fact, I've got the ad for this guy, and it looks great. Here, check this out, because I'd certainly vote for him. Let me play this ad for you. I think you'll enjoy it.
Marjorie Taylor Greene expressed support for executing Democratic members of Congress.
Flood the Capitol building.
American democracy is hanging by a thread. I'm Marcus Flowers.
Marcus Flowers.
Overseas in the Army, I've seen firsthand the damage done by extremism. Georgia's better than Marjorie Taylor Greene, and with your vote, I'll prove it. I'm Marcus Flowers, and I approve this message.
Okay, the ad looks great. He looks great. I'd much rather see Marcus Flowers in Congress than Marjorie Taylor Greene. But she is in a district that is gerrymandered, that is so red that it would be impossible for Marcus Flowers to win. And so all these people that are sending him money thinking that we got to get rid of Marjorie Taylor Greene are actually, you know, wasting that money, because she won't be beaten, and that money could be better used supporting somebody who's got a good chance of winning their race. You hear what I'm saying?
Like Chris DeLuzio, Andrea Salinas, Jamie McLeod Skinner. We really need to support her up in Oregon.
Absolutely.
And two more, Matt Cartwright in Pennsylvania, and Michelle Vallejo in Texas. Those are my five people that I really, really support, because they do have a chance. They are progressive. Howie's recommended them.
Uh-huh.
And I know exactly what you're talking about. You make very good points. So thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. How's things out in LA right now?
Oh, it's very lovely. I think it's in West LA. There's a little breeze, sunny, cool, 70 in the 70s.
I miss it.
It's really lovely.
I miss it.
Yeah, I know.
I wish I had never sold my house. I'd come back. I had a great house in Culver City that when I left Los Angeles in 2001, I sold for $435,000. I look it up because I like to torture myself. So every now and then I pull it up on Zillow, and now it's worth over $2
million. Oh, no.
So, my God. Yeah. So
I'm in the same boat. I'm a renter now, but I had a house that I lost money on back in the mid '90s, and then it's also, you know, I don't know. I don't want to check now, but I'm sure it's over $1 million.
And I
have it paid off by now too.
Right, that's the thing. I owned three houses during my 15 years in Los Angeles, and the first one was this little cottage in Laurel Canyon on Kirkwood Drive. I mean, I was one of the ladies of the canyon. It was tiny. It was adorable. And I think I paid like $125,000 for it. I mean, it was very inexpensive back in 1994. That one now is worth over $1 million. So
that's a lovely canyon.
Oh my God, it's the best.
Well, are you going to Arizona?
Or don't
know
yet.
Know where you're going?
Don't know because here's the thing: we have to be out by December 1st. We will be here for Election Day. There's a lot riding on November 3rd. Is it November 3rd or November 8th? Whenever Election Day is, I think it's the 8th.
November 8th.
Right.
Yeah.
If Carrie Lake wins the governor's race in Arizona, I'm not going to Arizona. If Ron DeSantis wins re-election in Florida, I'm not staying in Florida. So I don't know. I don't know where we're going, but going somewhere. Yeah. We'll find out.
You know, that reminds me. I heard a very interesting interview. I don't know if I can mention another show's background briefing with Ian Masters.
Okay.
And he interviewed a specialist on the divided states of America.
Yeah.
And he brought up this idea of, we are so divided, we're beyond repair, and we should agree, like a divorce, we should agree that some states should form their own country to go blue, and the red states should form their own country to go conservative.
Yeah, the thing is, they wouldn't survive, because the blue states put a lot more money into the federal government than the red states do. The red states are the takers. Mm-hmm. The blue states are the ones who pay in. So let them try to be on their own for a little while. They'll come running home to mommy. Anyway, Lynn, I got to run because I'm late to get Howie.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Now, speaking of Howie, please, someone mix me up a double Dirty Debbie.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
I hope you're well.
I'm doing surprisingly well. I never consider myself very lucky. This week, I got lucky. I'm in the one spot in Florida that was safe. So I got very lucky. What a week, huh?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. I'm hearing terrible things about what happened in the southwestern part of the state.
Yeah.
They don't know for sure yet. Or do they? I mean,
they don't.
I haven't really been in touch with the news today much.
Yeah, they don't know for sure. What you're asking is the mayor of one of the towns, I think it was the mayor of Fort Myers or...
Fort Myers, maybe?
Yeah, who said... Wait, hold on. Let me pull this up here. Because this guy, the mayor, Lee County mayor, said this.
I have confirmed numbers. I definitely know the fatalities are in the hundreds. There are thousands of people that are waiting to be rescued.
Okay, so the mayor of Lee County, which is Fort Myers, where it came ashore, says we don't have confirmation yet, but we believe there are hundreds of fatalities. And then DeSantis said there's reports that there are hundreds dead, but we don't know for sure. And then Joe Biden said...
It made landfall yesterday, and it is still moving across the state today. This could be the deadliest hurricane in Florida's history.
Could be the deadliest hurricane in Florida's history. They just don't know yet.
So, right. Although the mayor of Lee County, I think he said he knows of hundreds dead.
No.
And I think the sheriff of one of those places in Lee County also said hundreds dead, but maybe he's just getting it from the mayor.
The way he said
anyway,
it, what he said.
I mean, I saw pictures that looked like absolutely horrific.
It is.
Of Fort Myers Beach, just devastated. Like, it looked like it was just made out of matchsticks and got, blown over.
It's horrible. So, streets are flooded.
Bad.
It's really, really bad. And what they're saying is, the reason they think there are hundreds dead is because when people got stuck there, they were told it looked like the storm was going to hit Tampa. And so people further south said, okay, well, we'll just ride it out here. We're safer here than going north. Then the storm turned as they took a direct hit. And so people were calling saying they needed help. And the help couldn't get to them, and that's why they're thinking that they have a lot of fatalities.
Yeah. Did you see that picture of the shark swimming around?
Yes, it's not real. It's not real. Apparently, that picture is from 2010, and it was debunked then. But we want to see stuff like that and believe it. So it's not real. It's not real.
You know, it's funny because Roland told me about it. He heard it on the radio last night. And I said, Roland, it's just made up. It's nonsense.
Yep.
Then I saw the pictures. I thought, oh, my God, he was right.
No, it's not real. Just, Photoshop exists. So, hey, Howie, I was a few minutes late calling you because I got a call from listener Lynn in West L.A. who does a lot of phone banking. And, she helps good candidates in other parts of the country. And what she wanted to ask you was about the guy who's running against Elise Stefanik, somebody named Matt Castelli, and whether or not it's worth supporting him financially. And what I told her is...
He's not very good. If she's into supporting progressive candidates, he's not that. Now, and he's not going to beat Elise Stefanik. So it's kind of a waste of money.
Exactly.
If I were her, I would put my money in other races where there are good progressive running, where they have a good shot to win. I think that, you know, if it was a Democratic wave election and it was really, really like actually a Democratic tsunami, he would have a chance to beat Elise Stefanik, but that's not what this year is. It's not going to be a blue wave, let alone a blue tsunami. So he's not going to win, and he's not progressive. So tell her to forget it.
Okay, so you just did. And what I explained was, I told you I have some ads I want to play. And I played the ad for this guy, Marcus Flowers, who looks perfectly good. He's the one running against Marjorie Taylor Greene. But in that district, no Democrat is going to win. And yet a lot of people are sending money to this guy, Marcus Flowers, because they want to get her the hell out of there. Right? It's a waste of money.
No chance whatsoever. Like, zero chance. Like, you'll be the congresswoman from that district before he will win. It's such a shame that people don't pay attention to what's really happening. Like, it's funny. I've been working all day from 8 this morning to a race-by-race analysis of what's going on in the country.
So good.
People don't have to ask questions like this. There are about 70 seats out of the whole Congress. There are just 70 seats where there's even a slight chance. Exactly 70. I think I said about 70, but no, it's 70. That's it. And most of those, it's very, very, very slight chance. But at least there's some chance.
Right.
In the case of Marjorie Taylor Greene and the case of Elise Stefanik, there's no chance. So anyway, I hope people will read this thing. I plan to finish it and have it up this evening. If I don't finish, it'll be up tomorrow.
Okay.
Literally, it's the only thing I've worked on for the entire day.
Oh, good. Can you give us a few names? Like, if somebody is in a position like Lynn, she's in a very blue place. She doesn't have to do a whole lot to support her candidates where she is, but she's spreading the love around the country to races where she can be of help.
Around California, because there are important races in California. I'm sure she knows about... Katie Porter,
yes.
Who, you know, Katie's going to probably win, but it's not a foregone conclusion. It's still a tough race.
Oh, so please support Katie Porter.
Yep. Right. So, let's see. I mean, some good progressives who have a shot. Let's look at it like, I hope she's a progressive. And she's not just saying, I don't want to hear about progressives, just tell me about Democrats.
Uh-huh.
But there's one in Arizona, a woman who's pretty good. It was... a D+2 partisan lean. It's in the southwest part of the state, from Tucson, right over to the New Mexico border, and it was held by Ann Kirkpatrick.
Oh yeah,
who is an Republican, is retiring, and Ann Kirkpatrick was kind of conservative anyway, and not a very good congressman, but partially because she was drunk all the time, but it had a D+2 partisan lean, and the legislature made it into an R+7 partisan lean.
Oh,
so that's still – that's pretty red, but not impossible, especially not for a good candidate. And Kristen Engel is the Democrat who won the primary, even though AIPAC and all those people spend against her. She still won. People don't mention that this is a woman who beat AIPAC, but she did. And she's running against a kind of a – not very good Republican, Juan Ciscomani. So that's a race that's worth taking a look at. It's Arizona's 6th district. And there are districts like that all over the country. There are 10 districts in California alone where I would call competitive. Most of them are the Democrats are just terrible who are running, like absolutely terrible. Like they literally, I'm not exaggerating. They took the two worst members of the state legislature, Rudy Salas and Adam Gray. They're both incredibly corrupt, taking money from big oil and insurance and voting with the Republicans. I mean, California, you think it's a Democratic state. These two are like Republicans with D's next to their name, and they're running, both of them, for Congress. So there are some really bad Democrats running in California, again, that aren't worth supporting. But there are also some good ones who are running, like Derek Marshall is excellent, and he's running against Jay Albernalti in the San Bernardino area. And then, let's see, Will Rollins is pretty good. He's running against Ken Calvert. It's a long shot, but there's a chance there. Jay Chen isn't bad. He's running. He's probably going to win. He's in Orange County, and he's running against Michelle Steele, and he's probably going to beat her. But he's someone probably worth looking at. So, you know, all over the country, there are some good some good people to support in Florida, as a matter of fact. I mean, I'm sure you even know her. In fact, I know you know her. Annette Tadeo.
Sure.
She's taking on Maria Salazar in Miami.
Right. Yep.
And that's a district that was much bluer before the most recent gerrymander, but it's a D plus one. It's still somewhat blue. And Annette has a good shot to win. I'm not saying she's going to, but she definitely has a shot, and she's definitely worth supporting. There's no doubt about that.
Yep. Okay.
So, I mean, I could go on for hours with this, but
you know what? Maybe,
I'm sure we have other things to talk about.
Well, I want to talk about commercials with you, but that gives people something to get started on. And then later tonight or first thing tomorrow, you go to downwithtyranny.com and we look at your study. And maybe next week we'll spend the whole time going through what candidates are out there who are worth supporting, who actually can win.
Yeah. I mean, sadly, most of the progressives who were in the primaries were beaten.
Right.
And that's really a shame, because most of the Democrats who are running are not very good.
Gotcha.
Now, are they better than the Republicans? Yeah, they are better than the Republicans, but they're not.
But they can't win.
I get too excited about most of them.
Right.
When I mentioned, Gray and Salas,
mm-hmm.
I said that those are two of the worst, but there are others who are really bad as well, everywhere in the country. And there are some that are just mediocre. And the thing is, you're thinking, well, you know, we got to keep the House in Democratic hands. And that's true.
Yep.
So you got to do what you got to do.
That's right. You got to do what you got to do. But if you have money to spend, be strategic about it and spend it on a candidate who can really use the money to win rather than throw it away, like on a guy like this Marcus Flowers guy who might be good. I like the ad, but he doesn't stand a chance, and you're wasting the money, and millions of people are, because apparently they're sending him a lot of money that could be better spent elsewhere, is all we're saying. So speaking of ads, Howie, I played this one earlier.
One more thing want to say before we get to the
mm-hmm.
ads,
yeah.
which is that when I'm talking about has a chance to win, I'm not saying that they're a lock. I'm
right.
not saying that, you know, just give money to so-and-so because they are going to win.
Right.
That's totally not what I'm saying. I'm saying give money to so-and-so because they have a chance and the money will help them.
Yes.
So I'm not talking about candidates that are, you know, a shoe-in
right.
in any case.
If they're a shoe-in, they don't need the money.
Candidates
this is
who are in tough races and where the money will help.
Right.
Annette Tadeo needs the money in Florida.
Please.
And she's going to, and if she gets to Congress, she's going to be a good member of Congress.
That's right.
That's a person you want to invest in, for example.
Absolutely. And I wholeheartedly agree. She's been on the show. So if you want to see what Annette Tadeo is like, just put her in the search at NicoleSandler.com and you can listen. So, all right.
And besides, if Annette Tadeo stops out of line, we know that we know somebody who can get her back in line.
We do.
You.
Oh, sure. Of course, because everybody listens to me. Ay, ay, ay. One guy I wish I could get in line is the idiot governor of this state. So we're being bombarded by his ads. Not only his, but the Republican Party of Florida is spending a fortune and running ads constantly. And they're just really bad anti-Charlie Crist ads. Poorly produced. You know, they lie. They use a clip of Charlie Crist talking to Ed Schultz, who's been dead for 10 years. And that's what they're pulling shit out of left field. But this ad just started running, and it's running a lot. And I'm not going to play the whole thing. I just want you to hear at the beginning of it, Howie. This is, and I believe this is an ad that Ron DeSantis, his campaign is actually paying for.
When our middle son, Brandon, left to go to work, he was only 21 years old. And the last words I said to him is, I love you. And a twice deported illegal ran into him and hit him so hard that he caused Brandon's car to flip. And he killed him. My child's killed by someone who should not have been here.
A twice deported illegal, her words, killed her son in a car accident. That was in 2007, Howie. In 2007, has nothing to do with Ron DeSantis at all, except she's pointing out that this was a twice deported, quote, illegal. And this is a minute long ad. And then I found out that this woman is a maggot who's running for the state Senate or something. And she did this ad for DeSantis and he's endorsing her. This is just creepy.
And it sounds like they're really trying to appeal to the MAGA crowd.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, when other people hear an ad like that, I don't think it motivates them in the same way that the people who made the ad meant it to motivate people.
Right. I would think that it would make people have the same reaction I had, which is, what does this have to do with voting for Ron DeSantis in 2022? It's terrible. It was a car accident in 2007. What does that have to do with anything?
Really?
Right? Here's another ad that he's running. And this is great. Because, well, let me play it, and then I'll explain who this person who's featured in the ad is. Yeah, Ron DeSantis, you got to wonder about his judgment sometimes. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen. DeSantis.
Today we deliver for the people of Florida yet again.
You saved our jobs.
No, he didn't.
And kept us going.
Ugh.
They tried to shut us down, but you saved our business.
$1,000 bonuses.
You had our backs.
And honored our service.
No.
You led by facts, not fear.
And you let us decide.
You let me go to school.
You gave me a voice.
No.
You put us first.
And didn't let them keep us apart.
You let us learn.
You let us compete.
Yeah.
All of us.
You protected our right to worship together in person.
Yeah, that guy that you protected our right to worship in person is an avowed anti-Semite who's been called out on it, and DeSantis features him in an ad.
That figures.
it's like a comedy of errors. I so want to see this guy go down. I'm just so over it. But you know, he did. We played it already. I'm not going to play it again. He did this other ad that was like a takeoff on Top Gun, you know, and it wasn't even well done. But there is an ad that that I saw for a House candidate in Utah. Oh, it's a Utah Senate candidate. Actually, I was wrong. Just not a House candidate. Utah Senate. The woman is in her 80s, and here, Howie, because I think you'll enjoy this one a lot because she brings in the music.
Hey, Utah District 12, listen up right here. There's a new name on the ballot for the Senate this year. My name is Linda Paulson, Republican and awesome. Love God and family and the Constitution. I tried to get another conservative to run. Nobody could do it, so I'm getting it done. I'm pro-religious freedom, pro-life, pro-police. The right to bear arms and the right to free speech. I want less government control and regulation. Want to stop and expose all political corruption. Where's integrity, morality, accountability? Government programs should lead to self-sufficiency and support traditional family as a fundamental unit of society. But in schools, they're pushing for new beliefs. And just to clarify, as a female adult, I know what a woman is.
That's just wrong on so many levels. I had to stop it. I just couldn't. I couldn't take so much comedy at one time. I just couldn't take it.
I saw that a few days ago and retweeted it. I love it all.
You know, I give her credit for stepping out and doing something different. But wow, you know. Considering whose votes she wants, is she speaking to the right audience?
Yes, she's speaking their language. She's using all the little terms that signify what they all think.
Oh my God! I mean, look, it got airplay because it's different, but wow, this is what some candidates are spending money on.
How old did you say she was?
She's a rapper? She's in her 80s.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's funny in Utah today. There's a fight going on because Mitt Romney is being neutral in the battle for the U.S. Senate seat. So Mike Lee is running. The Democrats aren't even running a candidate. They just endorsed another Republican who's running as an independent. And Romney, who favors that other Republican.
Right, isn't it Evan McMullen? Isn't that who's running? Right. I think so. Yeah.
So, you know, in his heart, Romney wants McMullen to win, but he hasn't endorsed him, but he's not doing anything to help Mike Lee. So Lee is going crazy. He's really angry. And you've got all these right-wing senators now getting down on Romney today.
Oh, God. You know, I see this whole thing. I just don't understand it. We were talking about this yesterday. I don't understand the race in Georgia between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker, who is not all there. I have two clips that I was looking for yesterday that I couldn't find. These are not from ads, but they could be for Warnock if he were... if he were that kind of person. Okay, so there's this bit of brilliance from Herschel.
And I'm going to answer the question for Riley and for Amber. Women's sport, that's easy to know. Men shouldn't be in women's sports.
Men shouldn't be in women's sports.
That's a question that's been asked, and y'all seen it. I know what a woman is. It's written in the Bible. She's from the rib of a man.
Ah.
There's man and there's woman. That's it.
That's it. I know what a woman is. She's from the rib of a man. The Bible says it. Okay.
Oh, God.
Right?
I didn't understand what he was saying there, but I'm sure that the Georgia Republicans will all understand. But, I mean, these people are running races to appeal to the MAGA crowd. They're not running races to appeal to the general election voters.
Right. But really, a woman comes from the rib of a man? That's all? Then he was asked by another reporter in another separate interview about the allegations of domestic violence against his wife, that he beat her, that he held a gun to her head. So he's asked about that, and his response?
Well, you know, he without sin cast the first stone.
He without sin cast the first stone?
I believe in redemption, who's been a pastor. That's what's so funny.
What?
And I say that because I'm not going to get into what has happened with him in his past. I want him to do what's going on in his policy.
There's nothing in his past. Raphael Warnock will talk about his past because he's not been accused of beating his wife and holding a gun to her head. He's asked about it, and he talks about he won't talk about his past, and it's between me and my God.
Yeah. Well, he's a hustler for his whole life, and that's what hustlers do.
I'm seeing them neck and neck in some polls. How could a self-respecting anybody vote for that over, since we're running ads, Raphael Warnock, who just, I believe, is beyond reproach. He's just so good. I've got one of his ads up here. We can do this.
If the race between me and my opponent were out here, I could understand why you might choose him. If it were here, of course. But this campaign is about who's ready to represent Georgia. And when it comes to that, I'm proud to be leading the fight to cap the cost of insulin, to make sure our military has safe housing, and to stop the big banks from ripping off consumers. I'm Raphael Warnock, and I'm running for Georgia. That's why I approve this message.
He's so good. I don't know how anyone can look at those two and say, oh, I'll vote for the football player.
Right, except it's tribal, and they're thinking, I like Trump, I like Republicans, that's who I'm voting for.
Yeah, I guess. There's no, I don't know. It doesn't make sense, it just is. So, Howie, when I told you I wanted to play some ads for you, you said, have you seen this one? This is a great ad. Now, it's not a political ad. But it's an ad.
Well, it's not a candidate ad.
Right. It's not a candidate ad. That's right. It is a political ad.
Yeah. I love this. This is my favorite ad of the year so far. I mean, I just absolutely can't stop listening to it.
It's so good. And here, let me play it. And then, okay, we're going to run a little bit, just a couple of minutes into overtime, because I got to get this in. So this is an ad that actually Adam McKay, who was the producer of Don't Look Up, you know, the movie about the end of the world, he tweeted it out, but it really is good. So here's this ad. It's for Chevron, kind of, sort of.
We at Chevron believe that nothing is more precious than life, and that the most precious life of all is the dead kind that has been compressed for hundreds of millions of years under massive rocks until it magically becomes oil. Oil that we can refine and sell as gasoline, so a cool-ass tank can crush a clay hut, or an airplane can take a businessman 3,000 miles to have dinner with someone, or whatever.
Or
all
whatever.
The while releasing greenhouse gases that are transforming the planet right this second into a hellish George Miller film. Because at the end of the day, we at Chevron straight up don't give a single fuck about you, your weird children, or your stupid ratty-ass dog. And we have billions and billions of dollars to pay for this commercial time, this cheesy footage, and this bullshit music. All so that you will be lulled into a catatonic state that makes you forget one singular fact. Chevron is actively murdering you every day. See, the human brain can only deal with so many things at once. So these emotionally loaded scenes will always push aside other thoughts like, Chevron is murdering me. It's just how our brains work, you meat puppet who exists only to feed us profits. Chevron, it's hard to even comprehend how little of a fuck we give about you.
This
commercial also applies equally to Exxon, BP, Shell, our delinquent lapdog media, and any hack politician who's trading the future of life on this planet for filthy money and oil stocks.
Perfect. That's just so perfectly well done. And I have no idea who produced it. Do you know, Howie?
No, I assumed it was Adam McKay, but I don't know.
Maybe. But it reminded me of something. So, you know, the intro to this segment, the one with the, you know, the Chucky Schmucky hour and the Dirty Debbies and all that. Well, that was produced by our friend Boca Brittany Summers, who many years ago produced this ad. Have a listen to this one.
Okay, listen. Somebody has got to get serious.
Well, I think that sky's the limit on what we can gouge you for a gallon of gas. And long as we don't have any oversight or regulation, Wall Street can speculate all they want. And there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it.
You hear about alternatives, right? Wind, solar, algae.
I think that'll work on a large scale, but it won't be any more affordable. The reality is, we're big oil, and what that means is we can ram our fists so far up your ass we can tickle your tonsils. I mean, what are you going to do? Write an angry letter to President Jell-O?
We got to get on this now.
Get on this, lady. At Chevron, our scientists are hard at work developing a mechanical dildo that rapes you as you bend over to fill the tank.
Chevron, gas prices high as the sky. You won't complain.
So, you know, there's nothing original anymore.
Wow, that was very good.
Isn't that great?
Really good.
That's Boca. That's Britt. Who, by the way, is doing a little better. Our friend Britt has cancer. This is she's out of the hospital, having all kinds of treatments. We got to do something about the damn cancer. We're sending out healing thoughts to Britt. So anyway, there you go. That she did probably 12 years ago. So you know, it's never too old or too soon to take Chevron to task, I guess.
Right.
In a commercial. There you go. Howie Klein, don't forget, we're going to all go to downwithtyranny.com in an hour or so and see if your new post is up. And if
No. It's not going to be done that soon.
Okay.
I'd say maybe 3 hours.
Okay. So in 3 hours or tomorrow morning, go to downwithtyranny.com. And do we know what it's going to be called yet? We know what we're looking for? The 70 seats, that 70 races that matter or something?
Oh, okay. I'll call it that.
Okay. All right. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com and go support those, the good candidates, the ones who have a chance, who really need the money, who will put it to good use. All right.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Howie. I'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right. And with that, we're done. Tomorrow's Friday. Oh, I love the sound of that. All right. So with that, I'll leave you with the news and I'll see you tomorrow. And to everyone up there in Florida who is not as lucky as we were, stay safe and try to get the word out if you need help. There's lots of people standing by ready to help you. We just need to know where you are. All right. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
One of the strongest hurricanes to ever make landfall on the west coast of Florida, Ian did just that. Coming ashore near Fort Myers in Naples on Wednesday afternoon is a Category 4 storm with 150-mile-per-hour winds, torrential rains, and historic storm surge of up to 18 feet. As of early Thursday morning, nearly 2.5 million Floridians are without power. Although Ian is now downgraded to a tropical storm, it's still on track to keep going and strengthen again. The excruciatingly slow-moving storm at press time was still heading for Orlando and other parts of Florida, with strong winds and heavy rains expected to dump some 30 inches of rain on the already soaked region. Once the storm exits to the Atlantic, Ian's likely to make yet a third landfall on Friday, impacting South Carolina and Georgia. Stay safe, everyone. Lots of news out of Russia today. The U.S. Embassy in Moscow is warning Americans to leave the country immediately in the wake of Putin's order for mobilization of Russian men to fight in Ukraine. The U.S. Embassy saying their ability to assist U.S. citizens may suddenly become even more limited. Separately, U.S. officials say that Russia is the leading suspect in the Nord Stream pipeline leaks investigation. A fourth leak was just found in those pipelines that connect Russia to Germany, and with authorities saying there was a very strong indication that these were acts of sabotage. A German official saying there was a very strong indication that these were acts of sabotage. Meanwhile, the Biden administration on Wednesday announced another $1.1 billion in security aid for Ukraine, as they said it will never recognize the sham referendums in four Russian-occupied Ukrainian regions. Now that those sham elections are over, Putin on Friday is expected to formally move to seize those four Ukrainian territories by signing documents that the Kremlin is calling, quote, accession treaties. The signing ceremony will take place in the Grand Kremlin Palace on Friday. It marks Putin's attempt to annex the regions of Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia, even though Russia does not fully control any of them, militarily or politically. The EU is responding with proposed new sanctions against Russia to punish Moscow for these sham annexation referendums, along with the mobilization of 300,000 military reservists and the Kremlin's threat to use nuclear arms in Ukraine. The EU's top official, Ursula von der Leyen, said that Russia's actions escalated the invasion of Ukraine to a whole new level. And she said the EU was determined to make the Kremlin pay. So these latest sanctions include an oil price cap, trade restrictions, and the blacklisting of several people behind the referendums. Unfortunately, for those measures to take effect, all EU nations must sign on. But Hungary is an EU nation and their approval is not assured. Meanwhile, the New York Times is out with a stunning new report, complete with audio clips they posted online of intercepted unauthorized calls made by Russian soldiers to their families, to wives, girlfriends, parents, and friends. These intercepted calls all show an invasion that went horribly wrong from the start. From some of those posted audio clips, in one of them, a soldier identified only as Alexander said, quote, "Putin is a fool. He wants to take Kyiv, but there's no way he can do it." Another, identified as Alexei, told his partner, quote, "They said we were going for training. These bastards didn't tell us anything." And in a third recording, the soldier said that one third of his battalion had been killed. Another said one battalion had been completely wiped out. So we're approaching the end of September. That means that the first Monday in October is coming right up. That's when the next session of the Supreme Court officially convenes. And they're just in time for the results of a new Gallup poll set for release today, which shows a large drop in approval and confidence in the court. The poll found that less than half of Americans say that they have a great deal or a fair amount of trust in the judicial branch of the federal government, representing a 20 percentage point drop from just 2 years ago. That includes a 7-point drop since last year. The poll also finds a record-tying low number of Americans saying they approve of the job the Supreme Court is doing, while a record-high percentage of Americans say the Supreme Court is, quote, too conservative. And we've also learned that the justices, well aware of their diminished standing, are for probably the first time sparring publicly over that legitimacy issue. Speaking out are Justices Elena Kagan, Chief Justice John Roberts, and Samuel Alito. Alito, responding to a Wall Street Journal article about the disconnect, directly responded to Elena Kagan's critiques, including a statement in which he said, if over time the court loses all connection with the public and with the public sentiment, that is a dangerous thing for democracy. Alito, responding to the quote in the Wall Street Journal, saying, it goes without saying that everyone is free to express disagreement with our decisions and to criticize our reasoning as they see fit. But saying or implying that the court is becoming an illegitimate institution or questioning our integrity crosses an important line. Now, cameras are still not allowed at the court, but the court will continue offering live audio broadcasts of arguments, something that they initiated during the pandemic, when the new term begins on Monday. They also noted that Monday will be the first time in more than 2.5 years that the justices will hear arguments in person with members of the public present. Speaking of the Supreme Court, Virginia Thomas, the wife of Justice Clarence Thomas, will testify before the January 6th committee sometime this week. That's according to committee chair Benny Thompson, who also said that the panel is still working to reschedule the hearing that was postponed from Wednesday, saying that it likely will not happen next week. Stay tuned and stand by. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.